Today on the Cooligans, we never thought we'd ever hear this news. Peter Vermees fired as coach of Sporting Kansas City. He is gone. We talk all about it. Also, Atlanta United and NYCFC had one of the most comical, one of the most ridiculous games in history. And we talk all about that as well.
That's right. We also talked to Joe Pompliano, baby. We're doing a real business episode. We're breaking down the money. Where's it going? And how come it's not our pockets? And also after that, we do a little rapido reactions because you know how we do on the show. You're going to get all that we just said and a whole lot more on today's episode.
Tomorrow is Mateo's second birthday.
Hey!
My little boy.
2 years old.
Turning two. It was just like yesterday. He was turning one.
Well, you know what I also have? Hey, tomorrow is 14 years until he has to get a job. Am I right? Get this kid out there.
we're already encouraging him to participate in building, this economy.
Especially the first part of that word, building, bills. You gotta help out, kid. We got a whole studio. We got fund
it. So, I mean, Mateo's too young to understand. Yeah. But happy birthday, buddy.
It's a beautiful thing, man. 2 years.
2 years. He is running, climbing on everything, talking, saying stuff.
One of my favorite things when I do the intros, usually me complaining about the way people eat or they don't do things the way I like.
No.
When you do it, it's a birthday. It's like all positive.
It's something positive, something nice, you know. Sometimes people don't want to start off this podcast with what really grinds my gears.
Yeah.
And just something to be annoyed. You like target. Or you put your laser focus and you tell our audience, hey, this is who you should start hating right now.
Well, here's my problem is that I can't stop thinking about it. So I need to push it off on the wall, y'all. You know what I mean? I need to share this mind hive. Hive mind?
Hive mind. You know what I mean? The beehive. Yeah. We all love Beyonce. Yeah.
I need y'all to share this pain with me.
Yeah. So, 2 years of being a dad has been transformative.
Right. What have you learned?
I've learned.
Give me the biggest lesson you've learned.
Well, this is. Did you see the video with
odds are no.
Chapel Roan.
The answer is again no.
On Call Her Daddy.
I did not.
Shout out to Call Her Daddy. Involved in NWSL. Look, even Call Her Daddy's getting into soccer.
Right. Unwell. The drink. Yeah, it's killing it. Thing.
So, but she was talking about how. Everyone that she knows, I don't know how old she is, but she was saying everybody that she knows around her age that has children, they're like going through it. They hate it. They basically childless people are hearing nothing but negative things.
I can report back. Me and Chapel Roan have yet another thing in common.
Okay.
Add it to the list.
Y'all dress alike. Yeah. And now
we got the same makeup distributor. I also want to go to the Pink Pony Club.
So it
is true, though. From our perspective, we hear a lot of the complaints. But I think that's because people with kids who have complaints know they can tell us and we won't judge them. You know what I mean?
If someone
with a baby who was like, this sucks, and they see how happy you are with a kid, they're not going to say that to you because you're going to be like, what are you talking about?
Right.
I let this baby breastfeed off of me, dad.
But I think... And
so they come to me. They come to Alexis.
And I think the thing that's different especially the way Chapel feels and the way I may feel is that I waited so much later in life to have children, to have a child.
Yeah.
So there's a certain level of...
You're 65.
Exactly.
It's a good time to have a baby.
I look great.
Your life is over. You might as well have a kid.
Me and Robert De Niro. So, but there's a certain level of understanding of myself, having patience that I appreciate. Not because there are those like sleepless nights. There's like, why don't you want to go to sleep?
But see, me and Chapel also having sleepless nights for different reasons. She's out. I'm out. We're doing different things. So it all blends together.
You're on the toilet usually.
I'm out on the toilet. I'm just not allowed to do it at home anymore sometimes.
I mean, as...
We got to air the place
But
out.
I think both points are valid. Like, it is really difficult to have children and raise children. But I say this, people always ask me, all the childless folk, I know they're like, yo, Christian, how you doing? What's it like?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's more fun than it is difficult. That's all. I expected it to be difficult.
Yeah, but see,
but I did not expect it to be this fun and rewarding.
You sound like someone who enjoys homework. trying to convince me to do it. You know what I mean?
So, but even though homework can be rewarding.
See? Nerd alert. Nerd alert.
You learn something about yourself. You challenge yourself. So, I can change a diaper with my eyes closed.
Bro, I change my own diaper all the time, bro. It's not that important.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the Cool Games. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We got a hot show today. We got an incredible guest.
Who?
We're going to be joined a little bit later by, not only a journalist, but I would say an entrepreneur, an investor, a man involved in business.
Stonks going up. Stonks
going through the roof.
Damn, bro, to the moon, dog.
Joe Papiliano of Yahoo Sports. He is a co-worker. Yahoo Finance.
Yeah, he's part of Yahoo Finance. Yep.
Yahoo Finance.
Also got a name. It sounds like you should be doing this with your hand. You know, all tips of your fingers for me.
So we're going to talk about if he's childless or not.
Yeah, that's the point of it. We're not asking him one thing about business. We're asking him about his personal business.
So we're going to talk to him about, because he had a great video on YouTube recently talking about MLS and the business of MLS.
The business side
and
of
its
it.
Growth and stuff like that. So we're going to talk about the state of American soccer from a financial perspective.
This upsets some people with the football fans or soccer fans, because they think, like, why are we talking about the business side of it? We should talk about the culture and how it affects us and the blah, blah. The business is important too, bro.
Exactly. You see
it's
us.
It's got to survive.
You see us? You know, we got a
couple
money.
Of businessmen
we talk
over
money
here.
Money all the time.
Bro,
you know,
bro, when Christian and I walk in, we don't just shake hands. We shake both of our briefcases together.
Okay.
We are a business, bro.
Right. So, when after
folded newspapers
after
and such,
Alexis is done, acknowledging different pepperoni from 50 miles away.
By the way, I've gotten so many DMs over this. I've been called the pepperoni whisperer. I've been called the pepperoni savant.
My man knows pepperoni from at a distance. Bro. Okay. So, after we're done with that, that's when we talk about money. So you guys don't usually get to hear, but we're going to talk to Joe Pompliano about...
Now we're gonna insert our business into the show.
Exactly. But we have to start today talking Major League Soccer this weekend, another big weekend. We have to start with the game that's definitely we're still reeling. I'm recovering after this game. Atlanta United hosting New York City Football Club in a game that was...
Two completely different halves.
Two completely different halves, but just a comedy of errors.
Right. Did anyone want to defend?
there were defensive errors. There were mistakes. There was miscommunication. There were just poor giveaways. This was not the best example when it comes to like the quality of MLS. So, you know, sometimes we were like, look, the standard is up. You know, we had Shane Todd on last week, and he was just saying exactly that, like, oh, the standard is higher and all this. This was not.
We got room to grow after this one. You know what I mean?
We have a lot to learn about ourselves. Yeah. But the Atlanta United ends up winning this game 4-3. I don't know if you saw the admin team at Atlanta, who's, you know, they can fire off some jokes. And I just want to give credit where credit is due, because Atlanta, they did a post where, you remember the side talk kid that we outside?
Yeah.
Did that with the Atlanta United logo.
Okay. I'm like, fair enough.
All right. And then they did another one with a video of just like pigeons dancing. And the song just goes bacon, egg, and cheese. Cheese, cheese.
Oh, I'm just
which is
real famous Dembo.
A classic. Yeah, yeah.
Real famous American Dembo.
It's
song.
On their Instagram card if you can find that. I don't know. It'll pop up in a second. But this was it's one of those things of like, it's funny unless it happens to us.
We can make fun of ourselves. You can't make fun of us after beating us. But this is one of the joys that I have about MLS, is that we can be this person.
Sure.
We can be this league where we can have fun and joke. I mean, Premier League clubs can't really do this against each other. I mean, they can a little bit.
Right.
They've started to more.
Yeah, but this was just the photo. They did put it on screen, Carter. The referee.
This for the offside.
However, now that. But show the first picture, Carter. The first one. The first one is obviously at the 51st minute, 3-1, and this reminded me. This is almost now the new 28-3. Remember the Atlanta Falcons against the Patriots. And so this is where I think where this is basically coming from.
Carousels are back. Right? So what a smart way to do a carousel.
But let's talk about, I guess let's start with the last goal. The fourth goal from Atlanta United. Emmanuel Latelat scores a goal. A long ball from Guzan.
Yeah.
And Thiago Martins is shielding the ball.
Shielding him and waiting for Freese to come up and grab it.
And grab the ball.
And neither of those two things happen. It ends up at Latelat's feet. He scores a goal.
And he taps it over.
But I noticed Thiago Martins, he gets mad at Matt Freese. And I can't help but watch it back and think, bruh, you should have been looking in the mirror when you first got like that. Because yeah, this is a lot more like a year full.
Yeah, let us know in the comments where you stand on this. But if you haven't, if you're not an Atlanta or a New York City FC fan, go watch the highlight. Just look up the last goal.
Uh-huh.
And this is just something where this is not the first time this happened this season. I forgot the other game, but the same exact situation. Thiago Martins is like telling Matt Freese, get the ball, and miscommunication and misunderstanding. So this has to be something. If you already dealt with it in the past, why is it happening again?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thiago Martins, I'm going to put it on him. He's captain of the team. Sort, like, just, you know, if there was so much time. He was basically having a conversation with Matt Freese for, like, at least 2 to 3 seconds. Like, you get it. No,
I'm saying. Someone should have yelled. And usually, from everything we've heard from players, it's whatever the goalkeeper says is last. So if it's like, leave it, that means everyone's got to stop and leave it for him.
Yeah.
Or whatever he says, like if he says, I'll grab it. If he says, like, you know, whatever, clear it or whatever, you know, you handle it. You need to handle it. You are at the behest of what the goalkeeper, again, the last guy in front of the goal, the guy who needs to stop the ball from going goal for their wishes. So I feel like unless he said leave it and then couldn't get there on time, this is Thiago Martins' fault.
I agree. It's something where, yes, maybe Matt Freese could be a little bit more aggressive there. And especially when Thiago Martins is telling him to go get it.
Yeah.
But Thiago Martins can't see how fast Latelat is, right? He's running really, really fast.
No, he's shielding him. So you're supposed to be putting a body on him.
But he doesn't really do it that aggressively because he expects that Matt Freese is going to get the ball.
He just sort of gets in between the ball and Matt Freese. He gets in between Latelat and the ball.
Right. And he believes that what's about to happen next is that Matt Freese is about to gather this ball. And he can see Matt Freese. He is not really aggressive. He is hesitantly, he's like, I don't know if I should go get it. As soon as he sees that, he has to stop asking him, yo, go get it. Like, just clear it, do whatever. It doesn't matter.
You can apologize later if you clear the ball and he said leave it. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
But it's just...
The ball doesn't end up in the back of the net.
He is not... I would argue he's not an indecisive player. He's been, you know, arguably, in some stretches, the best player for NYC. Yeah.
He's made some defensive mistakes.
He has.
This
season. Every. I'm not saying he's going to. Yeah.
I never said he was
the
only one.
I'm just saying.
May you clear it from the record.
But these moments of this miscommunication, I'm going to put it on the captain to be like, I'll make the decision.
Right.
Not asking someone else to make the decision, especially when the same situation has happened before. Early in the season. So look, for NYCFC fan, a frustrating result. How do you go off from 3-1? Dominating game, well, not even dominating, but controlling it, you know, taking advantage of the mistakes that Atlanta made, and then, you know, the own goal from Keaton Park, so frustrating.
Yeah,
and
it's just tough. Like,
but you understand, then it's 3-2, like, all right, hold. I mean, at least a point, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You have
the lead, you could get the three on the road. That, for it to just like snowball and the compile the errors is a really, really frustrating. I didn't see the post game. Like the post game conference and stuff. So I didn't see what the coach said, but I can imagine he's pretty.
I saw Ronnie Dyla's. They played that Ronnie Dyla's post game, and he just talked about how, which is the coach of Atlanta, used to be the coach of New York, won MLS Cup of New York. But he talked about how it wasn't great in the first half, which I think we both spoke about.
Yeah, yeah,
it wasn't great. But I think Maranchuk becoming a bit more further back, a bit being able to see more of the field. This is sort of the thing that happens to midfielders when they come into MLS. Regardless of what position you played, if you were more attacking or if you were more defensive, your higher level of seeing the game happen in front of you calls on you to be more of a person who makes a pass into the right spaces. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You almost can't be a 10 if you're Marantric. You're going to have to slide back a little bit, and you're going to have to be just a bit more influential. You're going to have to stay in the middle of the park. It's like, and as soon as they did that, you saw Atlanta just completely flourish. Miguel Almirón scores his first goal back in Atlanta colors. Yeah. A little bit of a throwback to yesteryear. I think this is a smart move to move Marantric back. And then I look at New York City FC, and we don't have a player that can do that. Like, you know, Maxi Morales has to stay close. He just has to stay closer to the forwards. Like, I don't know. Is Keaton Park that guy that can do the same thing, that can sort of, you know, scan the entire pitch and make that one right pass? He's not used that way, so I don't know if he's the guy that can do that. And it feels like the one type of player we absolutely need in New York.
Right. I mean, Keaton, I think much more noticeable in the game last week against Columbus when he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, it was a miracle that the game ended 0-0.
He
controls the game.
He does, you know, so much that doesn't end up in the
in a way. Like, yet. Again, it's not super stylish and fun, and he's not pinging balls 30 yards. Yeah. And I think that's kind of the, I don't know if it, frustrating is maybe is not the exact word. Maybe it's just not the role that he's assigned of, like, slip passes and through balls to people.
No, it's not.
But
they also play a slightly different way.
Weirdly enough, the homegrown Johnny Shore is kind of that.
What a revelation this guy is.
Is making some of those passes outside of just being a defensive mid. So
he's looking good. He's
a wild game.
Gonna end up in Europe soon.
Cannot believe that was the result, but still. The other game we got to talk about, Inter Miami against the Philadelphia Union, a 2-1 win. Messi scores. He comes off the bench. Scores.
I think they only had two shots on target, by the way.
two minutes on the pitch.
He does what he does best.
Surprising nobody.
Although Fafa Picot, you know?
Getting
used to be like, I'll run past the guy, I'll take a shot as soon as I get a chance. He's kind of sliding into the middle of the park, mm-hmm. looking around, sees a couple open players. He is having so much fun at Miami.
He's doing what he said when we interviewed him. He said that it'd be nice to have, it's nice to have these other players because a lot less attention is going to be put on me. And I mean, no better example than that. He kind of can glide through the left side of the pitch. Yeah. And you know, cuts inside and then finds,
doesn't have to force anything,
open players. it's kind of nice. Messi scoring very quick. He scores on his right foot, which is not necessarily a surprise, but it's just something where his left foot is so strong and so dominant that I forgot who was the defender that was on him, but you can just see everybody's like, okay, stop the left. Don't let him shoot with his left. And he's like, oh, okay, no problem.
Yeah.
I also know how to use my right foot.
Well, let me show you this other foot I got. So, yeah.
But one of the moments that was pretty shocking is, we can put it up on screen. I don't know who originally got this video.
It looks like it came from the stands.
It did come from the stands, but Messi is, who is that number?
This looks like when they stabilized the Zapruder film. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of weird because it's very clearly focused on Messi's head.
Yeah.
So everything else is kind of gliding around it, like his hair and stuff.
Who's the defender there? That is, I think that was the sub. What number is he? 20.
But it's the look back. I think he's 27.
29.
The look back. The look back Messi gives him to be like, who just pushed me?
Olwethu Makanya. He's a South African player. And so he got
Can you not do that again, bro? Because Messi looks back and eyes him up and is like, I don't know who you are, and you're about to find out who I really am.
He is 20 years old. He is a defender, and he is a center back, and he's marking Messi. And to my understanding, because we don't know what happened before this clip began, but he is just telling Messi, like, yo, I'm here. I'm battling for position.
He pushed him, though.
But, I mean, push is a strong word.
He pushed him,
it's
nonetheless.
A very light nudge to just be like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
I know who you are.
What if an open micer slid in front of you? You know what I mean? For a photo or something. You'd be like, all right, here we go. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of how Messi probably felt at that moment. Like,
maybe.
I'm one of the greatest players of all time. You just got here. Watch what a veteran, this to me, like, I'm not upset about this at all. This is what a veteran does. They kind of like, they bait you into this.
Yeah. I mean, upset. I wouldn't describe upset.
It's, but people, the quote we're showing here says, being humble is the biggest false lie ever sold by the media. Yeah. Biggest false lie doesn't make a lot of sense. so truth.
So yeah, it is. It's something where, like, I understand the gamesmanship, but it is a bit aggressive. Let's not be like I'm not.
Is
like,
it?
It's a little bit.
You're the tiny guy who gets fouled all day, every day, your whole career. This is light work.
But
if you fall for this, that's your fault.
Sure.
I would have just moved out of his way when he was sliding back and he would have busted his ass.
The Charles Barkley move. Yeah. Remember how you started Barkley?
Pull the, what is it called? Pull the rug?
Something like that. Yeah. So
no? it's the pull the chair behind you.
Pull the chair.
Yeah. Okay. So
Carter remembered he had a microphone. Let's go. So, normally he'd be miming chair. I want to remind everyone.
Let's do a Pictionary. We got to guess what he's referring to. Yeah. So no, this is something where I'll say this. Messi's above this. I don't think he needs to do this.
I wouldn't disagree.
One push, let him know, fine. Three?
Because he was waiting to feel that contact behind him. He knew when the ball comes, he's going to crush me because I've just been pushing him three times.
Right.
And look, now we get a foul called in our favor.
But the funniest part is that he's pointing to the ref, the defender. It's pointing to the ref like, yo, he is literally backing into me, pushing me. Why?
Throwing his elbow at me.
Do you not see this? He's just like, he's doing the LeBron to J.R. Smith. Like, you're not seeing this? And then he's obviously very, very angry after the foul call on him, which is, he did foul him, so it is what it is. But I don't know. This is just something I'm like, all right.
This is to me feels more like veteran.
Late in the game, he's trying to cause a foul or
this seems to me more like a veteran lesson you just learned. From a veteran.
I agree with that as well. I'm just like,
this is part of the game.
It is.
The game within the game, bro.
It's just funny to me the light nudge to like,
oh,
bang.
Yeah.
Olajuwon elbows. Yeah.
I will say it, probably the reaction isn't equivalent
to the
initial action. But you now learned the lesson.
Exactly. So, hey, that's what it is. All right, Rook.
All right, young buck. So, now go get my bags.
Yeah, I mean, and look, Inter Miami continue their onslaught on what it seems like in this league, even without Lionel Messi there.
They also seem better defensively, which I think is something we were worried about this year.
Yeah.
They seem just a little bit better. They reactionary defensively.
Sure.
Again, Mascherano being a defender probably helps that.
Yeah, I agree. But the confidence and swag seems to be there for this team for sure. All right.
Ben Hakramaski cut his hair. He looks a little bit more like an adult. He doesn't have that, like, I just took off a hoodie, a Scully, you know, haircut.
All right. Next up, we are obviously also big news that just came out right before we started recording this show. Peter Vermees is done at Sporting Kansas City.
Completely.
Never in my days did I think this we would see this day. I thought Vermees would outlive us. I'll live this podcast.
Yeah.
Seemingly there was nothing he could do wrong. Obviously, he's brought in a lot of trophies.
He was his own boss.
Exactly.
The yearly review was always stellar.
The technical director and coach. So he's been the technical director.
Longer than he was coach.
But from 2006. And then
he made himself coach, what, 2009?
I don't know if he made himself coach.
Well, he's the technical director. That's literally.
I'm sure he asked
who?
The owner, like, hey, I would like to coach.
The technical director hires the coach. He hired himself. He was I got a guy for this job.
No one had any input.
You're looking at him. He shook his own hand. He was like, now that's a good negotiation. So you deserve a raise. I do deserve a raise. Thank you for asking.
So he's been the longest tenured MLS coach since 2009.
I think he's the longest tenure coach in world football.
In world football, I think we found that out.
I think it was him and it's him and Diego Simeone just after him.
Yeah, so kind of surreal for any coach to have a job that long.
Yeah, you normally don't see that length of time. And I think I'm going to look up Sporting Kansas City's last few years because I think for the most part, what Peter Vermees did was given a bit of an identity to Sporting Kansas City, a bit of stability. For the most part, we remember Sporting Kansas City as being a team that was tough to beat and fun to watch and all these things. And
yeah,
that kind of stopped a few years ago. But for the most part, his legacy will probably hold will feel more positive than it does than it has the last 2 to 3 years.
Sure. I mean, and just some he's coached some spectacular players on his team, players that have, you know, played on the national team. I mean, we had Matt Beisler on the show years ago. Mm-hmm. And there's just a, you know, the Jimmy Conrad. I mean, there's just a lot of history.
Yeah.
With this team. And for the last few years to have been as bad as they've been, you know, just even when they signed Alan Pulido, I'm like, oh, this is an interesting move. The fact that even Pulido wanted to go to Kansas City, he was at Chivas and, mm-hmm. and thriving and stuff like that. And just to what they are now, I mean, that signing just couldn't have been any worse. He just was injured all the time.
Couldn't score.
Didn't score that many goals. That was just not the expectation that they
had.
Not
for what you paid, yeah.
So from even as a coach, but even as the sporting director, made poor decisions with certain signings. The culture of the team, like, we've had like Daniel Shalloway on the show, and he's just a lovely kid, just
great.
A positive energy.
Great guy.
And when you think of the coaching style, just the personality of a Peter Vermees, I think you had him on Morning Footy.
On Morning Footy. Yeah.
And there's and not to say that he's like a super serious guy, but he's a more, he looks like Guile from Street Fighter. He's
got the army haircut.
Army haircut. And so
he seems like a dad who has a whistle to wake everyone up. You know what I mean?
Sure. It's time for church.
Yeah, very much so. Everyone has their own seat in the minivan. There's no arguing.
Right. And more than anything, I mean, we've seen this with a lot of different coaches or even players that we've spoken to. They always say, like, sometimes, even if you have a successful team, the coach's message just doesn't always resonate.
Sometimes you lose the locker room.
You lose the locker room. And, I mean,
or you've heard the same story multiple times.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah, we get it. You scored 4 touchdowns in one game. All right?
Wow. You know what? Don't say what that reference is from.
They know.
Nope. If you are watching, I want you to type that reference. And also, if you know that reference, it's time to get your prostate checked.
So I'm checking my prostate right now. Okay. So I think that's – he lost the locker room probably like 5 years ago. That's the problem. And because he's a technical director
– there was no one there to really check some balances.
Yeah. And from a business perspective, we can also say, like, Sporting Kansas City, they sell out pretty much every game. I think they're doing
fine. The team's doing fine, yeah.
And then, so it becomes like, when do we really need to pull the trigger and make a change? But it's just like...
That's the difficulty within MLS, right? Within the system we have, which is you could just kind of be mediocre and survive long term, where there isn't something you're like, we need to get into those CONCACAF Champions Cup slots.
Yeah.
Or there isn't oh my God, we might get relegated. That fear, you can kind of middle and be okay because you're like, hey, we get a share of the business, baby. Yeah, yeah. We're doing fine. Yeah, as long as the fans keep showing up, we'll be fine.
Exactly. And then the one person I looked to, Afran Kevincho, who stopped.
Oh my God! Major League Soccer!
Okay. Kevincho has not been live streaming. He has chosen to not live stream the matches.
He's
this
on
season
sabbatical
because he's just like, this team is just so embarrassingly bad. But instead of doing live streams and watch alongs for the games, he's been doing like sad edits, mm-hmm. of Sporting Kansas City matches, of just like they're so abysmally sad and just highlight the disarray that the club is in,
right?
That it's just it's like an artistic piece of just like a child crying. You know what I mean? Like it's it is just a perfectly captured essence of like nothing's gonna change. It's just always gonna be bad. So I'm gonna text him later. I'm like, bro, how are you feeling?
Yeah. Talk to me about you.
because it's been absolutely brutal. All right, is that was it one thing left or no? Oh yeah, the last thing before we get to Joe Pompliano in NWSL news.
Sometimes you make mistakes in this world,
mm-hmm.
and you have to admit to it and then try to find a way to rectify it. And the city of Boston deserved better than what they got.
Boss Nation was the name at everybody.
TooManyBalls.com was terrible. Boss Nation was somehow even worse.
And there was no, it wasn't even like, oh, some people like it, some people, there was no liking it.
The only people liked it were the people in the room who made that decision. Everyone else was like, are you sure about that?
Right, right. So it was a, everybody always say like, even there's that podcast, How'd This Get Made? Like, yeah. You know, movies that got made that they're like, this is really bad. How the hell did this, there's so many layers and people and layers of approval.
I think I saw that for Howard the Duck. They were like,
it's plenty of things like that.
Who made this?
But Boss Nation is one of those, like, how did it get this far?
Yeah.
That people are supporting this and they hit the whole ad campaign. And that, I believe, I forgot the company that they hired, but they paid a lot of money for that campaign and had to be like, all right, back to the drawing board.
We could have come up with something just as bad for half the price.
So Boss Nation has officially become the Boston Legacy.
Yes, which, again, way better than Boss Nation.
Way better. It's not blowing me away.
It's not my favorite either, but it's good.
It's good. It's better.
That's all that's important. Boss Nation was just too much of a deterrent from the idea. It's like too much of like, oh, we got this cool new idea. It was like, what, you know, like there was there's a video of like three people on stage clearly at like a conference, and they're doing, they're not like us, they're not like us, and they're like really cheat. That was Boss Nation.
It's like welcome Riz FC.
We thought about Skibbity FC. You know what I mean?
Skibbity Toilet was taken.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying is like you were doing too much with Boss Nation.
Yeah.
And it's too much. Nobody wanted to be a fan of that name. Saying that name.
Right. What I don't, it's not even about transparency, but what I don't love is like, I haven't really heard many other names or potential
options. They did a vote. I don't know if they went with what won, but there was a bunch of names that were kind of...
I did not see any of
that. Fans got involved somehow. I forget what it was, but there was a couple ones that were like rising to the top. And I don't know where Boston Legacy comes from, but it is much, much better.
Yes. I mean...
Not my favorite, but much better.
The new NWSL team in Denver, when they're starting 28, I think, 2028, they are now in the middle of trying to come up with a name. And the names that are like, that are standing out are like FC Colorado or
I love those.
Not that Colorado, because Colorado Rapids is going to be good. Denver. So FC Denver, Denver FC.
I love those.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I think.
Let the fans decide what the nickname is.
Sure. I wonder, you know, they'll probably go with a name like Thorns or
Denver Rising.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just so conditioned to like the name of the city, FC, and NWSL doesn't always necessarily do that, but I think it would be a cool. Yeah, like, don't even think too much.
Only European name that I know is like that is, and there's no joke attached to this, Tottenham Hotspur. They have like city, team nickname, like mascot, whatever you want to call that. It's the only one I've ever heard that's like that. Everyone else in Europe is either a city name with FC or a sporting city name, something of that
nature. Have you heard that they don't want to be call Tottenham anymore?
They just want to be called Hotspur.
No, they don't want to be. You don't want. They want like the neighborhood is Tottenham.
Yeah,
but they don't want to just be called Tottenham. I think Hotspur.
Yeah, they don't want to be say like Tottenham lost today or Tottenham won today.
Right.
They want you to say,
damn, the whole town.
Yeah. Hotspur. I mean, they lost when they allowed this team in there. I'll tell you that.
So yeah. So that's a so look again, improvement, Boston Legacy. Fine with it.
Yeah.
It could have been this could have been like
now Washington Spirit, do something about the logo. We're gonna start working our way down the list.
I don't hate the logo.
Oh, it's terrible.
Okay. All right.
Clip art. Logo,
let's talk to the one and only Joe Pompliano about
business, bro.
Business.
Bro, you're about to listen into a business meeting.
All
bro.
Right. Carter, put a little C-SPAN ticker under us. Talking about the stock price.
Yo, this is Squawk Box, bro.
Yeah. All right. Put money things in the bottom. Yeah. Okay. So people know we're serious.
Let everyone know how the stocks are doing, bro, during this, bro.
All right. So let's get right to it. Here's our conversation with the one and only Joe Pompliano.
All
absolutely thrilled to be welcome to welcome our next guest.
Yeah. I'm also thrilled to be welcome here.
But you know, when we joined Yahoo last year,
we went around, we knocked on a couple doors, we said, "Who's the coworkers?"
Okay, I bumped into this guy at the water cooler. No, I'm watching stuff on YouTube, and there, you know, we're like. There's a couple, you know, obviously soccer people at Yahoo. And then I had seen.
But we're the top of the heap when it comes to soccer.
Sure. I just let everybody know.
Right. Okay? You come to us and ask if it's okay.
What are we talking about this for?
Yeah.
You know the expert, the authorities. All right.
But who ate my sandwich in the cafeteria fridge?
But this this gentleman, I had seen a fantastic YouTube video about the state of growth in Major League Soccer and where everything's going. And I saw, you know, obviously a Yahoo Sports contributor, Yahoo Finance Sports Report, the podcast. Go check that out. So I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome our next guest, the one and only Joe Pompliano. Joe, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Thank you so much for having me. We didn't meet at the water cooler, but I appreciate you checking out the YouTube stuff and saying the kind words.
Okay, well,
you're
Joe,
doing a great job on that,
thank you
man.
For destroying the
we're trying to set a world here.
That we created.
Yeah. You know what? I know you're the business guy. Stay out of our business, all right? We built our fans. Want to believe in a world where we're allowed in the Yahoo building.
They didn't believe it anyway.
So, Joe, I just want to let our audience know about you a little bit if they are not aware. And maybe you can give, you know, you don't have to give your whole CV. But, I mean, when I watch your videos, whether they pop up on my TikTok or whether they pop up on Yahoo Sports or on YouTube, you are a person that is delivering either business information or very detailed and specific sports information. So from your perspective, so is it, did you grow up playing sports and that was the plan? And then you were like, oh, I'm going to get.
Why am I here sweating? How do I make money off of this?
What's the Joe Pompliano origin story?
I like everyone else, thought I was going to be a professional athlete until you realize that you're, you know, 5'10", 175 pounds and white. Yeah. And you're like,
You realize the last one last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's at the cookout like, what do you mean?
You can't jump. You can't run. You can't do any of that stuff, right? So you got to pivot. You really have no other option. So I actually, I used to work at JP Morgan, the bank in New York City. And like, you know, you're doing that job. It's great. It's fine. But I realized pretty quickly, like, okay, I probably don't want to do this when I'm 60. So let me go figure out what else I want to do. And I just started writing and tweeting and talking and making videos about sports business because, like, to me, that was like the next thing. When I grew up, sports were all about the sports. But as I got older, it was like, okay, why are these teams so expensive? Why are companies paying so much to sponsor the leagues and the players and things like that? And I just felt like that was going to become more important. So I started doing that probably 5 years ago. And things, you know, have gone fairly well over the last few years. And that's what I do full time now.
Is like when you're looking at sports and you're trying to look at it from a business perspective, we've done this at moments on the show. I'm very interested in why front offices or owners make decisions they make. We've had people on the show and, you know, why would you buy a professional soccer team when all they ever talk about is you can't take any profit, especially outside of MLS. You can't take out any profit or you have to give all your money to this team to make sure that they survive. And they ask, it just seems like everyone hates you the moment you buy the team. I don't get it. And at some point, do you just want to start a video and end a video by going, guys, it's money laundering. I don't know what else to say. This is tax avoidance at its highest. I don't know why else anyone is making these decisions with their money.
Well, some of them are, particularly if you're talking about soccer in Europe with some Russian oligarchs and things like that. I think there's probably some of that going on for sure. But like the comment about, you know, everyone hates you the second you buy the team. I'm dying over here because, you know, Mark Cuban just sold the Dallas Mavericks and he's going on this tour now talking about how, you know, it's unfair that they traded Luka and it's not his fault and all these things. And it's like almost to get people to feel bad for him that he sold the team and they told him he could run things and he's not. I'm like, dude, you made $3 billion. Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to feel bad for you, right? It's completely okay. So I think it depends per league, but certainly soccer. I mean, if you look in Europe, a lot of these teams, it's just the salaries are crazy. You're constantly putting money in. You don't get to take any money out. And if you never sell the team, like, what are you doing, right? Is it really just fun? To me, that seems like not the best way to have fun, but maybe some of those people enjoy it.
Right. Yeah. I want to just reference the video that you made about Major League Soccer.
And this was so impressive, right? This video. You and I watched it because we're like, somebody finally breaking down, like, what is actually happening?
Yeah, because it seems like, you know, and you had started off the video, and again, the link will be in the description. If everybody, please go watch it. But the you started off really talking about Inter Miami and Lionel Messi joining the league and that how that has basically transformed the league. But there's, we've been following the league for a very long time. Introducing Messi into it seems like, all right, the money seems to be funneled towards Miami and all the eyes and all the attention. And then it feels like the I don't even know if it's like a risk per se, but it's something where like, well, he's going to be gone. How are we going to keep this up or how are we going to replicate this? I mean, you gave a lot of great points about how the television deal and how kind of forward thinking MLS might be in having an exclusive deal. But as an MLS fan, I'm like a little worried that we're putting all our eggs in this like one basket and putting in so much money there that how does everybody else sort of thrive and you know the rest of the league continue to grow even after Messi's gone?
Yeah, I mean, the Messi intro is really just because the numbers are so ridiculous, right? Like, you look at Messi and it's Miami is obviously benefiting drastically more than everyone else. And really, it was because he wanted to go there. You had Beckham there, the league, Apple, everyone wanted to arrange it. So he got there. And if you look at their numbers specifically, I think they were doing like 50, 55 million in annual revenue before he got there. Last year they did 190, right? So like, it's crazy, right?
Just a nice and you look paltry 4X.
yeah, just absurd, right? And if you look at the valuation, which obviously is just a multiple of the revenue, they went from 600 million valuation to 1.2 billion now, right? And like, maybe some of this goes down. If he retired today and just went away, and like, maybe some of these sponsorships go down. But the way that a lot of them end up working are, you know, JP Morgan Chase for the stadium. They're signing a multi-year deal. Usually those deals have an escalator into them. And Miami was also smart. I don't think a lot of people realize this. Miami had a bunch of sponsorship deals before Messi got there, of course, right? Basically, whatever they were working with. Most of those deals had these stipulations in the contract that said, if we sign a Ballon d'Or winner, a multiple-time Ballon d'Or winner, then this, you know, this is what the contract is worth. Or we can opt out of the contract, right? So they were able to get out of some of their deals, or the contracts doubled or tripled in value because they were basically, I mean, it was really designed for Messi. They had been courting him for 4 or 5 years at that point. But it was like, hey, if we get a really good player who's going to bring a bunch more exposure to this team, we want to make more money. And I think that was fair, but look, at the end of the day, the negative here is if he leaves, then maybe the valuation goes down. The revenue would obviously drop over a year or two, but maybe it doesn't go back to where it was. It's somewhere in between, which I think is still a net positive. My point with the video was just that, like, Major League Soccer as a whole is still benefiting tremendously from Messi being here. And one of the examples I gave, which, you know, I think is actually just quite funny, is the Chicago Fire. They sold out Soldier Field when Inter Miami came to play them last year. Messi didn't even play because of an injury, yet that ticket revenue was still 55% of their total season ticket revenue, right? So it's like his name alone is worth millions of dollars to every other team, not to mention that everyone shares in, obviously, the TV rights, but merchandise and things like that. So there's some other tangential benefits there. But when I think about MLS, like, MLS is a little bit different from other sports leagues. Like, everyone looks in America, at least, to the NFL and the NBA, and they say, okay, these leagues are making billions of dollars every year off TV rights. That's their biggest income stream. Sponsorships, ticket sales, everything else is a little bit below that, but it's TV rights are kind of the end-all, be-all. And MLS is sort of the opposite and much closer to Major League Baseball, where it's sort of like this, like, regionalized sport that depends much more on ticket sales because of the amount of inventory that they have from a game perspective, right? Like, there's just so many games where if you look at Major League Soccer, I mean, they sell more tickets every year. They sell more tickets in a given year more than every other league except the Premier League, right? So La Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga, they sell more tickets every single year. Stadiums were at 94% capacity last year. They're selling 12 million, 13 million tickets a year, right? So, like, this is a big league that's growing a lot. And it's positive, in my opinion, that they don't necessarily need TV rights to do that, right? Because the Apple deal is great, But at the end of the day, each team, when you do the revenue split with the players and splitting it between 30 teams, each team's only getting like $5 to $10 million a year from that deal. So it's not make or break. It's not going to help them be profitable. And it's relatively a smaller line item compared to everything else.
Right. So what we need, obviously, is for MLS to adopt a 162 game season. Okay. Now
make them play twice a day.
I mean, look, some would say cruel, but I think if you just think about them as assets and not humans, then it's actually not that difficult.
That's why, this put is why in a I financial appreciate your model. Perspective, Alexis.
See what I'm saying? Businessmen, bro. Yeah. I'm glad that three like-minded adults are having this conversation. Joe, I pulled you. again, NFL, don't listen to this show. I guess my big fear is, right, we talk a little bit about, you mentioned MLS is different than everything else. MLS is a single entity, right? It's basically one big team, if you will, split into a league, right? So everything kind of goes through MLS and then funnels out. The owners kind of make decisions. More of a co-op than it is, you know, these individual teams like it is in NFL or in Europe. Does that model allow this messy thing to benefit for everyone? And then once that's gone, what goes? It just becomes a thing of how much money you make at the gate?
Yeah, so I to answer your first question, yes, absolutely. Like, there's certainly some benefits that Miami gets more than everyone else when it comes to sponsorships and things like that. They're keeping the majority of that money. But when it comes to merchandise, right? Merchandise is something virtually every sports league, at least in the United States, splits merchandise between all the players. So, like, MLS is a great example, but one that other people might be familiar with are the Dodgers and Shohei Ohtani. Like, you'll commonly read that Ohtani is the number one selling jersey here in America, but obviously also in Japan. I think he accounted for like 60% of all MLB merchandise in Japan last year, right? So, like, just totally ridiculous numbers. But that revenue is split between all of the teams, right? So the Mets benefit just as much from Ohtani selling jerseys as the Dodgers. Now, the one thing that's a little caveat to that is that typically the team gets to keep a higher percentage of the revenue if it's their own store selling the merchandise. So if you go to Dodger Stadium and you buy a shirt at the stadium, they get to keep a little bit more because they're the distributor. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go on Fanatics or something like that and buy it, that money is literally split between all of the teams. Same with MLS. So the same thing applies for Messi. Now, the thing that I would say about Messi leaving is that you're really hoping that it's obviously not going to stay at the level that it is, right? Like, everyone says, okay, isn't Miami's valuation just going to go back down to $600 million from $1.2 billion when he leaves? And I don't think so. My guess is it would probably settle somewhere in between, right? Because you're going to be a bigger business than you were before he got there, but you're probably not going to have as much upside as where he is today, right? And he's obviously going to get older and he's going to retire and leave. But at the end of the day, you're locking in some of these sponsorship deals for 4 or 5 years at a time, and some of those are going to continue to last. Now, the benefit here is, what does the World Cup do? What does Messi do? What does the Club World Cup do? Like, how can you parlay those big events and those personalities into more people watching the sport? And I think that ultimately is the biggest risk, if we want to talk about risk with Apple, right? Which is like, it's great. If I watch MLS, if I'm a person who loves MLS, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I don't even know how the average MLS fan feels about it. But me personally, I like Apple because I can go to one place and I can see everything, mm-hmm. right? Like, nothing pisses me off as a baseball fan more than not being able to find a game. Right. And if I can find it, it's probably blacked out. You don't know where it is. Yep. Your cable provider probably doesn't even have it. It's impossible to watch stuff. On Apple, you know what you're going to get. You can watch the games. You can watch interviews. You can watch tours of facilities. Like, there's a bunch of stuff on there. I think that's awesome. Now, the problem is, if you want to invite new fans to watch your sport, you have to convince them to pay to watch that sport by buying a subscription, which is nearly impossible. And part of the reason why even the big leagues that have leveraged some of that streaming money with the NFL and the NBA through Netflix and Peacock and other things like that, most of their rights are still on cable or broadcast channels, because you're going to derive the biggest audience, which impacts sponsorship dollars and TV commercials, by putting your games out there for everyone. So I think that's like sort of the biggest risk for MLS. Now, we'll see what happens. Maybe Messi is just so big to where he brings all these people in, they like the product and they stay afterwards. But that's sort of the biggest unanswered question.
Right. Is the issue, though, that it's not Apple TV Plus and not maybe something that has a bigger subscription base like a Netflix?
Yeah, Netflix would have been great, right? And I think Netflix might have been more interested if they knew Messi was coming, obviously. But I think part of the problem is MLS wasn't big enough to demand that from Netflix at the time. And Netflix also, their sports rights, their sports strategy has changed a little bit too. And if you think about Netflix, what does Netflix do from sports? They want to do events, right? Like special events. They don't want to do like a package of NBA games. They want to do Christmas Day. They don't want to do NFL on Sunday. They want to do Christmas Day NFL games, right? Yeah. They want to do like special one-off things. They don't want to do a package of boxing matches. They want to do Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson.
Right.
So it's a little bit tricky there where Netflix hasn't really shown a willingness to go out and buy a huge package of inventory. Maybe Monday Night Raw is the only one who can like say that a little bit, but even that is sort of like an event-driven thing where it's once a week and it goes to different cities and things like that. So I think Netflix was probably always on the outside looking in, and Apple to me made the most sense because MLS had to grow its revenue and Apple was by far and away offering the most money. And the way that Garber and all these guys can spin it is like, we're looking ahead to the future. And maybe that's how it turns out, right? In 10 years, maybe that's where everyone goes, but there's something to be said about maybe you should have waited 5 or 6 years and then done that.
Right. There's, I mean, they do an anonymous GM survey every year. And they put it out recently, and apparently one or two of the GMs said that the Apple deal is actually bad, and that they can't get new fans.
You can't grow the
viewership. So it, yeah. I mean, clearly, it's a contentious sort of point from people outside the league, from people in the league.
I know from our perspective, bars don't have it. Like, if you want to watch it with your friends.
It's a little challenging. Yeah.
It's a little difficult to find a place that will show it.
I feel the same way as you. I'm like, I love MLS and I love that it's in one place and I have no problem finding games. Yeah. It's so incredibly convenient.
Yeah. I would say it's good for like someone like me who just wants to go to one place and watch everything and know when it's going to be on and get alerts on my phone and do all that kind of stuff and follow games. But it's bad for virtually everything else, right? Because like, it's obviously not good for finding new viewers. It's not good for advertisers because you can't do them. Like, you're the audience isn't big enough.
Yeah.
It's not good for bringing in, you know, new players to the league because they're not seeing the games. You can't go to a bar and watch it. Like, there's just a whole host of things that aren't good for
all it. All I heard is that it's good for me.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Which is all I care about. Yeah.
And I say sold.
Yeah. I just want to mention one point about the... you had mentioned about the attendance numbers in MLS being only second to the Premier League. The one thing, the caveat there is that we have more teams and there's more games. Yeah. So that's why more tickets will be sold.
What's all these asterisks?
Don't worry. People were going to be on my ass.
Right.
They were when I put out the video. They said, you know, you're just an American idiot. I'm like, obviously they have more games.
Okay. Guys. All right. Well, are you reading my notes, Joe? Yeah.
Also, I told you not to put them in the comments. Wait till the show, Christian.
But the one thing I want to ask you, I don't know. I didn't ask you. We didn't ask beforehand, but the news about ProRel to the U.S., I don't know if you've seen that USL in 2027 is going to be introducing promotion relegation. But promotion relegation, we instinctively know that will bring down valuations of teams immediately.
I don't agree, but okay, well, maybe Joe can settle this.
I mean, that's clearly the case because you see the valuations of Premier League teams are beneath MLS teams. But... as far as your opinion on how this could affect the business of American soccer, is this something that is exciting to you? Do you think owners wouldn't be interested because it's too much of a risk? What are your thoughts?
Right. Is it exciting to you, or are you on the wrong side of history? Go ahead, Joe.
I love promotion relegation, just to be clear, so I don't get killed out here, right?
Like, there's both sets of fans listening to the show. You're going to get killed no matter what you say.
I'm a fan of it, but... there is a 0% chance that MLS gets promotion relegation. People still think it's going to happen. They see other leagues doing it. There is a 0% chance because that is what makes the MLS team so valuable. The owners would never go for it. Because if you think about it, right, you guys were just talking about it. Inter Miami is more valuable than half the Premier League right now, right? Like, literally.
Right.
And they have a significantly smaller fan base. But the reason why they're more valuable is because the economics of the business are so much more favorable for them versus everyone else, right? So if you think about it, the player costs are capped via a salary cap, right? So they know how much they're going to have to pay. It's going to go up in increments. You're only giving a percentage of the league revenue over to the players. It's capped. You also have a closed-end structure. So you're guaranteed to be in the league, no matter if you're the worst team 1 year or the best team another year. You're not going anywhere. Where in the Premier League, you guys know this, your revenue can change every single year based on whether you perform or not, if you're at the top of the table, etc. So I think there's draft, obviously. This is what makes American sports so valuable, because not only are you in the American market, which is the most valuable economy in the world, but you also have this unique business model, which gives you some sort of like safety net or some floor. Promotion and relegation is great for fans. They love the excitement that it brings. It's awesome to see other teams come up and other teams go down that who don't perform. But it's not going to happen because the owners would never go for it.
I will say, though, with the biggest argument used to be, oh, well, the ratings. Who's going to watch you in the second division? They're behind a paywall now. That ratings technically don't matter. And also, there is a way to do it and not be in an open system, right? They have enough teams now to do it, essentially, albeit a smaller, you know, top division and lower division. But there are ways to do it. So I hear your point and I agree with you. But I also want to... What's the inverse? We've had conversations with high-level folks within the Premier League, and I'm floored at how is it that the NFL, very popular in one country primarily, I know Mexico watches it, I know Germany watches it, I know there's other nations where people are now getting in tune. NFL, primarily U.S., some Canada. How does the NFL make like 7, 8, 9x more revenue than, say, a Premier League that's famous all over the world? How?
Well, the real answer is that it's fortunate to be located in America, where people will spend whatever amount of money and attention that it takes on sports and specifically football. But also brands and companies have more money than anywhere else in the world and are willing to spend that money to market to people. So I think that's part of it. But the other part here is that they also have a great business model, right? Like, back to what I was saying about the salary cap, like the NFL... They give, they call it 50-50. They split revenue with the players through a union or a CBA, right? So the player costs their cap, but it's really not 50-50. There's a bunch of carve-outs for sponsorships, and leagues have expansion fees that they don't have to pay the players. So usually that percentage gets pulled down to maybe 35 or 40%. So these owners, if you just think about broadcast deals, they're getting handed hundreds of millions of dollars every single year from the NFL that more than covers what they pay their players and their employees before counting for any local revenue, right? So local revenue is things like parking and local sponsorships and things like that. And if for anyone who's listening to this that hasn't looked up, like isn't a student of kind of what's happened in the NFL, you should look up what Jerry Jones did. Because Jerry Jones, like, he's a crazy old man, like probably shouldn't be the GM and kind of nuts, but he's sort of like revolutionized sports in the U.S. because when he bought the Cowboys, the NFL had a different business model, and he literally went out and he just signed sponsors that directly competed with the NFL sponsors for the Cowboys. And the NFL sued him for like $700 million and was like, you can't do this. We have rules against us, whatever. And he was like, no, I'm just going to countersue you. And he ended up winning, and the lawsuits got dropped or whatever. And it changed the whole model to where now the Cowboys can go make money from Pepsi and AT&T for their stadium and things like that. Whereas before it was all the league making the money. And this has really changed what owners are able to do on the business side. And that's all credit to like the American market for sure. But I totally get what you guys are saying. Like if you look at soccer just globally, I mean, it dwarfs in comparison. We always talk about the Super Bowl, right? I'll tweet out, I'm like 125 million viewers for the Super Bowl. And within a second, I get people from Europe. They're like, well, the World Cup had X, Y, and Z. Like,
well, actually,
you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And which is totally fair, right? It's just a different sport with a different market, with a different fan base and a different model, which is to the benefit of the NFL for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, the one thing you said, like America being the most valuable economy, we'll see after these 4 years if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's getting pretty crazy.
They're going to do soccer tariffs. You watch.
The last thing I wanted to ask you.
Trump is definitely going to make Canada pay to watch football.
Yeah, enjoy those Argonauts.
Yeah.
It's going to be too expensive. Alouettes better be hooking it up. Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to ask you is because, you know, you pop up on my feed a lot, especially like on TikTok and stuff like that. And the one thing that I'm always jarred by are your eyes. I wonder how your eyes.
Super blue eyes?
Blue or green? What are we dealing with?
They're blue.
But they are.
We get lost in them is what we're saying.
They are striking. I mean, you have, like, as far as a talking head person that is pops up on my feed. I'm like, all right, this is, he was born to do this. You got to get out of behind the desk.
Yeah, Christian's calling you dreamy, dude.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So I'm wondering how much of, like, I don't know, did you get a lot of comments about it? Is it a thing you use to your advantage? I mean, let's not be crazy. If we got it, we flaunt it, right?
Yeah.
That was the most flattering thing anyone has ever told me on a podcast, for sure. But yeah, I, other than being blue, they're also just huge.
Yeah, they are 40% of your face.
Yeah, yeah. which maybe draws people in more than even the color. But yeah, I mean, it's always been something since I was a kid. It's like the first thing, you know, you go check out somewhere and you're like, oh, the lady at the counter is like, oh, your beautiful blue eyes. I'm like, can I just have my coffee, please?
Yeah, yeah. You're like, sorry, I'll just take my Magnum condoms and lube. Thank you.
You'll be like, my eyes are up here. Well, yeah, they are. I don't know. Stop
Jeez,
harassing.
Jeez, look at my crotch, will you, lady? Have some respect. Enough with the eyes. How do you have a last name, Pompliano, and those blue eyes? Does that, I don't, you don't see that very often. I don't see many Italian dudes with blue eyes.
That's what happens when your dad's Italian and your mom gives you the eyes.
There it is. All
right. You're a Giants fan, right?
Yeah, Giants.
Is your dad
from
the New York, New Jersey area?
Yeah, my parents grew up in New Jersey. So I grew up in North Carolina, but I mean, you guys know, you don't really have a choice, right? You just kind of, that's what's on TV. That's what I watched. And then once you get older, it's like if you switch when you're in high school or college, you're an idiot. So I couldn't do that. I just stuck with them. Even though the worst, like, you know, the last 10 years have been the worst 10 years ever.
Yeah, I will say, though, I mean, Carolina Panthers make a good point. Like, it's a good draw to be a fan because their slogan is keep pounding. And I think that's just great advice.
We've been in Charlotte. I was at Charlotte FC.
It says it everywhere. Yeah, keep pounding.
Keep pounding. Like, it is.
Charlotte FC is... I think quietly maybe more popular than the Charlotte Panthers in Charlotte, which was quite shocking to me when I moved here. But I was like, you know, you go around town and you don't really see people wearing Panthers gear. You just see Charlotte FC stuff.
Hilarious.
And I actually went to the first Panthers game last year. I mean, you know, no disrespect to Tapper, but people left at halftime. This thing was a disaster. And you look at Charlotte FC and they're renovating the stadium, trying to do things for the soccer team. And they're, you know, they're getting 60,000 fans on opening night. I'm like, hey, the tides might be turning here a little bit.
Yeah,
dude.
That's why, like, your video kind of made it feel like, all right. You know, maybe we did make a good decision 10 years ago to start a soccer podcast.
My wife was wrong and my mother-in-law was wrong.
Joe Pompliano, thank you so much for joining us, man. Everybody, go check out Yahoo Finance Sports Report. Go follow Joe on all socials. He's incredible, whether it's talking head videos or articles.
More
or
like talking eyes.
Talking eyes. Eyes will speak to you direct. They reach your heart. I tell you that. Joe Pompliano, thank you so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I had a great time.
Ah, what another wonderful interview that we have done.
Shout out to Joey.
Shout out to us.
Joey Pomps.
Shouts to us.
Shouts to us ever. You see the sign.
Yo, you already know, bro. You probably start the show thinking shouts to them. Well, yeah, you're right. Shouts to us.
So go support Joey Pomp.
Yeah.
And
check out his YouTube channel, man. It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. And
does a really good job.
The
with
Yahoo
that.
Finance Sports Report. If you're into business and finance and money, like if you want to be guys like us.
Okay? Oh my God. Christian, you smell that? It's time for Rapido Reactions, bro.
That's what you're going to do. You smell what the Rock is cooking.
No, yeah. Like, do I ever come across as someone who's ever watched wrestling?
He's never started a segment like this before. Yeah. Okay, Dwayne.
I smell a little bit of Rapido Reactions. Okay. I think I smell Carter cooking something up.
Carter, what's good?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
What you got for us, Papa?
All right, the first one here. These are Rapido Reactions around the world. First one is from the FA Cup. Man City, Aston Villa, Nottingham Forest, and Crystal Palace advance to the FA Cup semifinals. What's your guys' thoughts? Who is the favorite?
Well, this is also one of those, I hear the names and I'm like, I only recognize one of y'all here. Like, these other three,
This feels like a hipster, you know, like three of them are like hipster fans are like, hell yeah. And one of them's like, no, the big money's still here.
Yeah, look, more than anything, I'm surprised Man City got there because they've
had a rough one this year.
And I wonder, I'm like, do they need this more than any the other three teams? Because the other three teams are kind of like, have some consistency in the Premier League. Man City is kind of all over the place.
Absolutely. First of all, I think you might be right. But it's insane to suggest that Man City need this more than Nottingham Forest, who this time last year were fighting for relegation. We're fighting to not be relegated. Here we are a year later, and we're like, yo, City really need this one bad, bro.
Because the you know, Nottingham Forest especially, I mean, they look like the favorites. Man City might not make Champions League. That's kind of where we are.
Yeah.
So FA Cup might be more important. But more than anything, happy for Crystal Palace. Jean-Philippe Mateta making a comeback after
Chris
the injury.
Chris Richards is why we're excited.
Yeah, yeah, that too. I'm just saying, but after
shouts to Jean-Philippe Mateta, but yeah, I mean, come on.
Nearly lost his ear.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
Did you see the interview with him when he was talking about, he said he wanted to get back in and playing the game. He didn't realize how bad it was.
Really?
He was bleeding. He was just like, oh, just, you know.
Wrap it up. These athletes, bro. These athletes are crazy.
All right, what's next?
All right, this is a one that you guys, I didn't tell you about because I wanted to get your take live. So Josh Sargent has scored 30 goals in 45 home matches in the championship. It's the most home goals since he made his debut in the championship.
Kid's a beast.
Okay, I want to get your take on two things here. One, how has he been so successful at Norwich City? What has he been doing there to make himself successful? And two, why doesn't it translate to the U.S. men's national team?
Both great questions. Don't know if 90 seconds is enough to answer this. 90 minutes might not be enough. But I think what happened, what's worked so well for him in Nottingham Forest, right, and really just watching some of the highlights, a couple of matches here and there, nothing crazy. It just seems that the team leans on him in the final third. The team openly tries to get him into spots. And also, he's got that poacher's ability. So even when someone else, maybe someone further out left, shoots a ball that gets parried off, he seems to find himself in the right spot. So it feels to me like he's become such a focal point because of being so talented and scoring in those dying moments when they need him to. He's become so essential offensively.
I would argue, given that his home form is so fantastic, his home is clearly England. It ain't America anymore.
Oh, you think he's...
he's done. I mean...
All right, Benedict Arnold is crazy.
I am... look,
English people have no idea how much we still remember this
whole
thing.
We've given him enough chances. Yeah. And I mean, we need way more time to go over why it doesn't work. I agree with you. I just think he just doesn't... He doesn't have the profile of the type of player we need for the U.S. men's national team. He doesn't get a lot of touches. He needs to do a lot with very little. Mm-hmm. And that is not the kind of player he is. In the championship, it's a little bit more hectic. Again, balls bouncing everywhere. And he has the profile of that. We don't need a poacher. The USMNT does not need a poacher. That's not the type of game we're ever in. Low block teams that don't let us have fun and pass the ball around. That's not Josh Sargent's game, and it's unfortunate. I made the joke last time. I'm like, oh, he's gonna play 60 minutes and then obviously do nothing. And that's exactly what he did.
Big shock. Big shock.
All right, that was great answers for both of you guys.
That almost seemed condescending.
No, for real. All right, this next one. Kylian Mbappe scored a really nice goal, but was it a free kick or not?
This was who was the Real Madrid playing?
Was it Valencia?
Or Leganés? I forget who they were playing. But
it was Leganés.
Leganés,
right? This is we're only really bringing this up because...
Let me give you the context. Free kick, Mbappe... passes it very lightly to the person next to him.
Modric
very gently taps it back to Kylian Mbappe, who then shoots and scores. Is that a free kick, yes or no?
It is technically not a free kick.
It is not technically not a free kick.
It is not a free kick. It is no longer a direct free kick because the first touch...
It's not free.
The defenders
are running at you.
That was the second or third touch. Yeah. And the game was already in play and everything. So, and we only bring this up because there is a Twitter account that tracks whether Mbappe has scored a free kick. And the record goes on. And it's an interesting thing because Mbappe doesn't really take... How often does he take free kick? Even at PSG? I don't know.
You don't see it often.
And how many times does he even take shots outside the box? It's not really his game.
Can I tell you something? Doesn't need to.
He doesn't need to.
Doesn't need to do either of those things. One, he gets all the penalties when he wants, right? Obviously. Mm-hmm. And two, he's a very good goal scorer outside of those two things.
I mean, let him take a couple.
I don't think he needs it.
But, you know, so at least...
He got himself on Real Madrid, guys.
At least the
Twitter... He's won the World Cup.
So the Twitter account could shut up. All right, what's next, Carter?
All right, next year, Club León were kicked out of the Club World Cup because of the multi-club owner model.
Wow.
What are your thoughts on this kind of latest revolving story around the Club World Cup?
I think a bigger shock is same guy owns two clubs in the same league.
Yeah, so Grupo Pachuca is owned by Grupo Pachuca, which owns León and Pachuca. So also, why, right? That shouldn't be the case. I mean, I think
the Giants owner also owned the Washington Commanders, we'd be asking some serious questions.
You would watch the games against each other and be like, hey, I don't know if they're going
to... Why are they shaking hands for 90 minutes, you know?
So, I mean, I think it speaks to the state of Liga MX and the financial... Given that this is the business episode,
right?
The financial issues in the league and with certain clubs and ending promotion relegation for the taking the pause for the couple of years and blah, blah. My frustration here is, why do we find this out 2 months before the FIFA Club World Cup? Like, this could have been sorted out probably a lot sooner.
Yeah.
So we won't get to see James Rodriguez, who's currently at León.
That's not 100% true, because you know the rules. Mexican teams are allowing each other or allowed to loan players from other Mexican teams for this competition.
That's absurd.
I think it's up to six each. We have to look it up, but that is a rule that they're instituting for the Club World Cup.
Interesting. All right. Wild. All right.
All right. And just to build off of that topic, who should replace Club León for the last spot in the Club World Cup?
So I've seen a couple different...
But there's going to be a game, right?
It's reported that they want to do this, but we don't know. So LAFC against Club America.
Who are the runner-ups to Club León, who qualified through CONCACAF Champions League at that time.
In 23.
They obviously lost to Club León. So they would be the runners-up. So they would be able to play, right? The rumors that they would set up a game between them and Tigres.
Club America.
And the winner of that would then be given the Club León spot.
Correct.
And thus, maybe, James Rodriguez.
That would be ridiculous if that happened. But I also heard, like, I guess I don't know what is determined of who makes it. I we would have to look at all the kind of requirements of, like, who qualifies for the Club World Cup. But LA Galaxy, MLS Cup winners, you would think... That would kind of make some sense.
But that was last year. You got to do it from the year before.
Yeah, that's why it's a
unless
little...
Unless you're Miami.
That's the problem. Like, you're not Miami. That's the issue. So it feels wonky. That's kind of my biggest issue with that. Maybe it's because it's the first one.
Yeah.
But the multi-club ownership thing, this is going to happen again.
No, but I think you shouldn't be... I'm cool with multi-club ownership as long as it's not in the same league. That's the issue.
No. Yeah, right. But Club World Cup, they you can't have multi-club ownership, even if it's different leagues. I'm assuming, because that's the rule. So it's a little, it just feels wonky. That's why I don't love that.
I wish we had a little bit more time to talk about that. I'm gonna have to look up that six players from any team you want, basically.
All right. So shout out to everybody tuning in to another episode of The Cool Again. Shout out to...
Sorry to bore you guys with all this business talk.
I know, but sometimes, you know, we have to let the one percenters have a little fun.
No, we're kind of one of y'all sometimes, you know, except we pay our taxes.
y'all not like us. Yeah. We want to be like you.
Also, they're wild confused. They're like, what are taxes about? Oh, that thing poor people pay?
So as always, make sure you subscribe to The Cooligans on YouTube. If you have not yet, hit the like button.
Hit that like button right now. That's the most important one. Do that first, and then everything else after that.
Exactly. And then follow us on Blue Sky, if you have not yet, soccercooligans.com. All the action happening over there. Anything else? We'll be back on Thursday.
Happy birthday to Mateo.
Happy birthday to my son, Mateo, turning 2 years old. Adorable little boy. He's become a little man.
He's a little man, bro. He's going to have his own opinions pretty soon.
Damn, bro. Hopefully they're good opinions, all right?
Because if not, you got to find a new home.
We're going to have a couple of issues, all right? Yeah. Everybody gets in line in this home.
We have a belief system in this house.
All right. We'll see you Thursday with a brand new episode. Thank you again, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.